humbled. Let's welcome Pastor Nathaniel.
Good morning. Let's see. Okay. Hello. So it's been a while. I feel like I don't really need this. It's okay. Since I preached here, I went on vacation for a little while, and then we had our youth breakout service, and so it's great. I was like trying to catch up because Jamie's done the last two chapters of Daniel, and I better read through all this again and make sure I understand kind of like the flow of the book. And Daniel is a really cool storyteller. We're going to see that again as we look at today's passage. We're going to read through lots and lots of verses. But it's important because you can't just like skip parts of the story. You can't just, there's going to be a dream, there's going to be an interpretation of the dream, and then there's going to be, so what? What did that dream mean to me? And I can't just be like, oh, we'll skip the dream part, just get into the interpretation. It's all important. And so we're going to take our time and we're going to read through the passage. But overall, what I see as one of the big themes of this chapter is this idea of being humbled. Humbleness is a virtue, you know, it's a behavior showing like high moral standard, and it's something that I think is really interesting when it comes to Asian culture, because Asians have a lot of pride, right? And we also have this really sense of like false humility lots of times. A lot of times you're taught and raised to do these things, like paying for the bill, right? It's just like, I got to be the one who does it. And Jen was just telling me something her dad, my wife, told me about her dad. He said he used to joke like, what you do is you always, so your wallet's usually in your back right pocket, and so what you do is you use your right hand to try to stop them, and you try to reach with your left hand so you can't really grab it, and their right hand is free, so it's easy for them to just like get it out, right? It's just kind of funny, right? But that happens a lot, right, in Asian culture. We do this thing where we need to save face, right? It's like you can't bring shame and dishonor, and you gotta look like you have everything together, right? And you boast in your kids' schools and their jobs and these things, and you don't, and when you become an adult, right, you don't like boast about your work that much. You kind of play modest and humble, or, you know, but you want people to know. You really do, and you really want them to know how well, without having to really bring it up, but really subtle, you know. That's kind of how it works lots of times. But yeah, we like this idea of being humble, but I don't think anyone really likes to be humbled. Nobody likes to be told that actually your opinion is wrong, and let me tell you how it's right. And I bet you everybody hates those kinds of people. You know what I mean? You hate the people that are just always bragging and boasting. But why? And it's because it's like, well, we like to talk about ourselves, you know, I don't really care much about you and your success, and it's kind of annoying to be around people who are always like trying to one-up you, right? And but at the same time, we can't help but try to be the one who's one-upping other people. We want to be on top. We want to be the best, and we like to see people notice us. And people that always talk about themselves, it's like, well, then I can't share about me. And we're going to see this in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. And I really appreciate, as I've been rereading over Daniel, I was reading the first four chapters a few times this week, and I really like the character of Nebuchadnezzar because he is so relatable. And it's actually kind of cool because when I first think about it, I think, man, Nebuchadnezzar is a bad guy. He's like a bad king, you know? Trying to make these people worship this giant golden idol, and he's not a Christian, and he's like, but when you actually read through, and we're going to see through today, that in the end it kind of is hopeful for him, and he learns a really big lesson. And I think it's something I hope that instead of seeing him as the villain, we should lots of times see him as us. I think that, man, like, without God and without God's grace, it means nothing. I have nothing. And that's what we're going to learn about today, is that I am just like Nebuchadnezzar. Just a really quick review from these first three chapters. It starts off with Daniel and his companions you find them to be very faithful servants of God. Okay, and they excel and they exceed in their under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Like they get put into really high positions really fast. And then Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, his first dream, okay? And he's freaking out, doesn't know what to do with it. It's troubling him. No one can interpret it. All of his magicians, his wise men, all these people, no one could do anything about it. But Daniel can, through the power of God, right? God gives him the power to interpret the dream. After that, Jamie did another message on the sermon about this Nebuchadnezzar making this giant golden statue and wants everyone to worship it. They don't worship it, Daniel's friends, and so they all get thrown into the fiery furnace that's so hot, right? It burns like the people who threw them in there to death. But he sees that there's four of them in the furnace, and he only sent three of them in there, and they come out, and they're unscathed. They don't smell like smoke. They don't smell like fire. They don't look torched. They are perfectly fine and normal. Now, these are crazy events, okay? And for the dream, he didn't tell Daniel his dream to interpret. Daniel had to tell him what he dreamed about, like mind reading. And so if you think about Nebuchadnezzar, that's some crazy events that's happened in a short period of time in his life, where he's actually got to witness multiple miracles already. Okay, and maybe you guys can relate to that. Maybe you've experienced God's grace and His goodness. You've experienced or seen miracles. You've seen God work. But right after we see all these miracles, let's look how Nebuchadnezzar responds, okay? King Nebuchadnezzar, to all the people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are His signs, how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and its dominion endures from generation to generation. Amazing, okay? Here's the guy who's like the most successful king of his time. And he's doing so great. And he's able to see that, man, like, this is the real God. And he's seen it. He's seen him interpret his dreams. He's like, look at his signs. How great are his signs? How great are his wonders? Who can save someone from such a mess? You know, this is like impossible. And he sees it. So he starts worshiping God. And that's the right response. Okay, I hope that's how you guys feel when you see God do something amazing in your life or in the lives of people around you. It should cause you to just fall down and worship. And I wish this was the end of the story, but it's not. And we're going to see this kind of roller coaster of a life that Nebuchadnezzar has. But before we do that, let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your word, for your scripture. God, we do indeed praise you for your signs, for your wonders. Lord, Nebuchadnezzar hardly got to see or know the great signs that you would show that for us, we know, Lord. We have seen and heard of your Son, Jesus. We have seen and heard of His resurrection through your word. God, that so many people got to witness it and experience that. And Lord, us today, some of us get to experience a resurrection of our own spiritually. And one day physically as well because of what your Son has done. How mighty and awesome are your signs. And Lord, I pray that we would have hearts of humbleness, that God, we would come ready to praise and worship you because indeed your kingdom is the only one that will last. And it will reign forever and ever. And Lord, we pray that we would be a part of that kingdom. And that we would be a part of the celebration, the praising and the worshiping. And that we wouldn't be so prideful to think that it is all our accomplishments, that it's our work, that it's our what's owed to us, but that we would see, Lord, that nothing is apart from your grace that we have. And we pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, we're going to do a lot of reading, so just bear with me and keep up. Just try to follow the story, okay? Oh, Belteshazzar. Okay, that's Daniel. That's his Babylonian name. Chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you. Tell me the visions of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The trees grew and became strong, and in top reached to the heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of heaven lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. Okay, stream, there's just a giant tree. It's awesome. It's got a bunch of food, a bunch of branches, a bunch of shade. It's feeding everyone. Awesome. I saw in the vision of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said, "Thus, chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him." Okay, so there's this tree, so magnificent, so glorious, so great. And then all of a sudden you see this like angelic being coming from heaven, right? A holy one. Yeah, pretty much probably an angel, okay? Coming down and saying, "Hey, we're going to chop this tree to pieces. We're going to get rid of all the branches, all the food, everything that's great about this tree, let's get rid of it. We're only going to leave this tiny stump at the very bottom." Okay? So what's this about, okay? I'm going to suggest that this is one of the main points of the passage and of the dream. And this is before Daniel even interprets, okay? And Nebuchadnezzar keeps telling about his dream. He says, "The sentence is by decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw." Okay, if you don't get anything from this whole passage, this whole dream, know this, okay? That the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom and gives it to whom he wills. Okay? This is about God. This, every kingdom on earth, everything that we can hope and build our lives towards, like, you have to understand that all of it belongs to God. That's what God's trying to tell Nebuchadnezzar, is like, this is mine. It all belongs to the Most High. He rules over all man. Even he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Okay? And I will give all this that you think you're so great, so magnificent, whatever you think, I can give it to whoever I want. And I'm going to give it to the lowliest of low. Okay? And we're going to look back at this later. But that's the main point. Okay, everything is God's. This is Daniel's interpretation. "The tree you saw grew and became strong so that its top reached the heaven and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and fruit abundant and which was food for all, under which beasts of the field found shade and whose branches the birds of the heavens lived. It is you, O King, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven and your dominions to the ends of the earth." Okay, so far the interpretation is very positive, very great. You're this tree, Nebuchadnezzar. You are so powerful, so great. You feed the whole kingdom. Your dominion is so far, and it nourishes and comforts so many people. Okay. "And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, and the tender grass of the field, and let him become wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 periods of time pass over.' This is the interpretation, O King. It is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules." Okay, I summed it up here. It starts off, Nebuchadnezzar, you're this tree, you're going to become really great, really strong. That's who you are right now. Second, You're going to be driven from among men. Okay? You're going to be made like an ox. You're going to eat from the grass. You're going to basically become a wild animal and become insane. Okay? And all of this is to point out that you will know that the Most High rules over everything. Okay? And then finally at the end it says, but there's going to be this little stump still there. And your kingdom shall be confirmed. After these seven, there's going to be these seven periods, these seven times, however much time that is. And then you're going to realize what I've been trying to teach you, that I am the Most High. And your kingdom's going to be restored, essentially. Okay? So there's this, I'm summing up in three things. They'll show up later, but there's pride, humility, okay? There's this, I'm up here, and there's the fall, and then there's the restoration back up. That's kind of what's going to happen. That's what's being told in this dream. This is Daniel's counsel, okay? This is important. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. So Daniel hears about this dream. No one else can interpret it. Okay, I skipped that part. And Daniel, when he's first telling Nebuchadnezzar the dream, doesn't want to tell him because it's really bad news, and the king might. But the king's like, don't worry, just tell me what it's about. And so Daniel tells him and explains everything, right? It's like, you rose up so high, but you're going to fall so low. Right? And here's my advice for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed. That's his advice. And I hope, like, if, like I said, we should see ourselves as King Nebuchadnezzar, this is the advice given to us. Okay? Break off sin. I wish that could be my preaching every week. That's so simple, right? Stop sinning, guys. Right? Just be righteous. And it's like, if you read the Bible, that's the Bible's teaching all over the place. And it really, when it comes down to it, that's how simple it is. Okay? May you stop sinning and be righteous, and may your days be long because of that. You see that all over the Bible. You know? Show mercy to the oppressed. Basically, be righteous, right? Show kindness, show favor, like, especially in your high standing. God has given you so much. You know what you should do? You should give so much. I think that's what it means to show mercy to the oppressed. God, if you have any favor, if you have any blessing in your life, that means God has shown you so much mercy. Because we don't deserve what we get. And if you want to keep prospering, to keep growing in your life and your ministry and what you're doing, then, like, do what God has done for you, you know? How do you be righteous? Be like the righteous one. God shows mercy, you show mercy. That's how you find righteousness, is be like the one who is righteous. Right? Let's see where Nebuchadnezzar goes with this counsel. Very next verse. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? Like I said, it's really easy to characterize Nebuchadnezzar and be like, man, what a douche. You know, like, what a bad guy. Like, he's so typical, you know? Like, I am so great. What happened to, like, at the very beginning of this chapter, he starts praising and worshiping God, right? What happened to his dream, two dreams now being interpreted, like, impossible, imaginable, like, no one can do this. He knows, he's like, only Daniel's God can do this. What happened to, oh, yeah, I just saw these three guys, like, escape death from a fiery furnace, and, like, and I started worshiping him. like, how does this happen? But I want to suggest, like, this happens in our lives all the time, right? Don't you ever say things like this? Like, man, like I was saying, even in like our Asianness, like with our children, like, look how well I raised my kids. Look how successful they are. And you're telling your friends and you're gossiping, right? And you're sharing about each other. It's like, they did this and this and they take these extracurriculars and all these things. How great, essentially, is my household, my kingdom, right? Look at this job I have or my son has. Look at this. Look at my things and or whatever. You know, like, it's so easy to do this. And it's, like I said, it's easy to characterize Nebuchadnezzar, but I hope you see, like, we're just like him. I know you all know, that's why you're here at church, what God has done for you. I believe it, okay? I don't believe you're like that evil, you know? Like, God loves you and He shows you grace and He died for you. And it's like, yeah, God gave me these things, but look how great I am, you know? Look how much I accomplished in my life. And it's kind of sad, right? Especially because Daniel just told him what's going to happen. There's been a dream and a vision about your life. And he's like, here's my counsel. Right? Show mercy. Stop sinning. Be righteous. Okay, it doesn't necessarily say Nebuchadnezzar did something so evil and so terrible. Okay? But you can definitely see his pride, right? It doesn't really seem like a righteous, like, and I'm going to talk about what real righteousness, what real humility looks like, but that's not seen here in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. So while the words were still in the king's mouth, while he's still blabbering on and on about how great he is, all of a sudden someone interrupts him. A voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. You shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. I don't know what to tell you, like, what this, how this actually happened, but this is what it says. Immediately this happened. He basically turned into an animal. He ate grass. Oh, dew, like rain came down, and his hair just, he looked like a homeless man, and just scraggly long hair, and his nails were like bird's claws. And yeah, he turned into some crazy beast. And just, I think the point of what the author's trying to make is, look how high you were, how great you thought you were, and now in stark comparison, how low you've become. Like a wild beast. Lower than probably the low people of his kingdom that he oppressed. Oh, how the mighty have fallen, right? How quickly in life things can change. You might be doing so great right now, and that's great, you know, God's blessing you, and that's amazing, but just be ready, you know, how quickly things can turn. And there's a lesson to be learned from this, and this is the lesson that Nebuchadnezzar is going to learn. We got to keep reading. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay in His hand or say to Him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lord sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are right, and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. What a transformation, right? So high, so low, and then even higher than he started. Why? Why did he have to go through all of this? You know? Why couldn't he even always stay at the top the whole time? Why couldn't God just like, why did God have to take him through this, you know? Or why couldn't he also just stay at the low the whole time, you know? It's just like this crazy roller coaster that he's going through. You know, God is teaching Nebuchadnezzar a lesson. Saying, everything you have, that's mine. I can give and I can take away however I want. I am the real king, you know? And Nebuchadnezzar, even though he's seen all these miracles, all these things happening that God has done, he should know this already. But he doesn't, because, you know, he's had all this stuff his whole life. He's been so strong, so powerful his whole life. Like, you can't help but attribute some of it to yourself, you know? It's like, I've had this success and, like, it seems like he earned it or, like, it's his. And it wasn't until he had nothing is he able to realize and appreciate that whenever anything is given to him, it's like, it's not me. You know what? Because if you really think about it, I'm no better than the beasts of the field. That's what I really am. That's what I really deserve. You know? But Nebuchadnezzar didn't realize that because he was so caught up in the success and the grandness of his life. He was so proud, you know? And it's not until you're emptied, until you realize that, man, I have nothing except by God's grace, that we're able to really see God for who He is and to praise Him and to worship Him. Right? Those who choose God, God chooses. Okay? The humbled are exalted. And those who choose other than God, basically those who oppose God, God opposes. And the exalted are humbled. Okay? This is a theme throughout all of Scripture. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The exalted will be humbled, and the humbled will be exalted. This is exactly what's going on in this story. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was so great. You know, he was so highly exalted, only to become humbled. God opposes the proud. But those in their humble state who come to God, God lifts them up. God raises them. And you know what? God raised Nebuchadnezzar up when he was humble. And he brought him to a place he's never been before. Even greater success. I want to tell you, you'll never experience the fullness of God if you're prideful in your pride. You never will. Right? In my weakness, we find strength. The jars of clay, I don't know if you've read that passage, right? When it's cracked, when it's broken, then you can see the treasure inside. You can see God coming out. You can see His glory and His power coming through. Grace comes to the humble. Jesus is our greatest example of this, of how the humble are exalted. Right? Jesus, throughout all of His life, sought the Father's glory. He never did everything for Himself, like to get everyone to worship and praise Me and do all these, treat Me so great and I'm going to rule over everyone here. No, He came to serve, right? He humbled Himself, though He is God, to the form of man. And not only did He form Himself to the form of man, but He humbled Himself so much to become a servant of men. And not only did He serve men, but He humbled Himself to the point of death on a cross, the most humiliating death there is. Why? Right? Why? Why would someone do that? Why would God do that? Why would God put Himself to this kind of humiliation? through his death and his resurrection, you know, his name was exalted above every name, the scripture says. There is no one more honored, more glorified than Jesus. Through his humility, he is exalted. All the glory was given to God. And you know what God did? God gave it all right back to Jesus. I give all authority to him. Jesus gave it all to the Father. He's like, oh, it's all his, it's all his, it's all his. And then God in return goes like, I give it back to you. Not that long ago in Luke, we read about the talents. Right? You were faithful over little, so I will put you over much. Do you get that? When you are humble, when you give all the credit and all the glory to God, you just do things like, in the story of the talents, one person does nothing with it, right? He didn't think the master was a good master. All he cares about is himself, okay? And look where that brought him. In the end, he has nothing left. But those who sought to work hard and to glorify the Father gave them much. God gives Nebuchadnezzar much when he praises and worships God, when he humbles himself before him. That's how it works. That's what the gospel is all about. God is not trying to take things away from you. God wants to give you everything. But you have to choose him. God chooses those who choose him. And those who go against him and are trying to build up their own kingdom, in the end, they will have nothing. In like the parable of the talents, I give everything that he had to the person who got the most, you know? It's like, I want to give you more and more and more and more. But the more you try to take, like you're trying to grab your own, the less you're going to have. And you're going to miss it. How can you boast if you know everything you have has been given to you? Right? Although Nebuchadnezzar had already seen a couple miracles from God, he did not understand that all he had was given to him by God until the very end. Right? Until he was humbled. He needed to have everything taken away before he could see that none of it was really his from the beginning. Right? Though he had encountered God, he did not experience the fullness of God until he himself was emptied. Right? If we fill our lives with our accomplishments or so much things, there's less space for God. Okay? And if we don't leave space for God, like, I'm not saying God doesn't bless prideful people, okay? Some people still get blessed because that's how great God's grace and his mercy is. And he understands, okay? But I'm going to tell you that those people will never experience the fullness. The more we have open to God, the more he can give you, you know? Whenever I go to retreats and like youth pastors and things, they always like this illustration. Like you have your fists clenched, you know? You're holding on to so much. It's like there's nothing left for you to grab at that point, right? You know, I talk about like putting your hand in the jar, like the cookie jar, and they can't get it out because they're holding on to so much, you know? And it's like until you let go, it can't be given to you. You can't get what you want. You're never going to get that cookie, you know? Until you open it up. And God wants to give it to you. He wants to give you all the cookies. You know, just pour it out into your hands. You just got to open it. Really simple illustration, but that's kind of how it works. You can't hold on and grab on to, you know what I mean? You can, but you'll never be fully satisfied. You'll never feel that fullness. You'll never experience the grace. God gives grace to the humble. And that's going to be very tiring. Your fists all clench. It feels like, you know? But you experience that freedom. You experience that grace. You experience that overwhelming blessing when you let God rule. I shared at the beginning that the book of Daniel is really a book about kings. It's like a Game of Thrones. And what the whole lesson's about is that God is the king. And God's going to set up a kingdom. That little rock that came and destroyed the giant statue, that's Jesus' kingdom. I want to go really far back. This is the point, right? That the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will, and sets over it the lowliest of men. I want to suggest that Jesus is the lowliest of men. That's what this is about. You might be a great king, Nebuchadnezzar, but I can take that away. And I'm going to give it to people no one expects. And a part of this is true of Nebuchadnezzar because he becomes the lowliest of men, right? He becomes like an animal. And so then the kingdom is given to him. And I think that's just a minor foreshadowing of what God's going to do with Jesus. Saying, I am the real king and I will give this kingdom to who I want. And I'm going to give it to my son, who's going to become a servant of men. And he's going to lay himself down. And he's going to die the most humiliating death. But he will be king over all for all eternity. He is our example. Okay. We need to learn how to be humble. We should always be humbled of what He's done and who we are. Like, I am no better than this beast of the earth. I don't deserve anything that's given to me. And if you're not floored by what Jesus has done for you, if you don't come like Nebuchadnezzar at the end of this and just be like giving God all the praise and all the glory for all of your success, that's why I think Nebuchadnezzar is actually kind of a cool character. He actually turns out to be really good. He gets it at the end. And the next week, I think next week, Jamie's going to preach on the next chapter, and we're going to see a stark comparison of Nebuchadnezzar's son and Nebuchadnezzar. Like I said, it's a... what's that structure called? Chiasm, right? 2 and 6, or 2 and 7, 3 and 6. Am I doing this right? 4 and 5, okay? So 4 and 5 are like the same thing. So James is going to preach a message that's very similar to my message, but there's a big point being made that two characters are being going to be put in comparison with one another. What happens when we don't humble ourselves? And what does it look like when we do? When we see here that when Nebuchadnezzar is humbled, when he's floored by all that God does, ends in praise and worship to the true King. That's what this is about. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, once again, this passage. I thank you for just all the wisdom that Daniel had, for his counsel. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be so prideful that we wouldn't listen to the counsel from above, counsel from you. That, God, we would turn aside from our wickedness, from our sin. God, that we would know that we are sinful beings in need of mercy. And so that when we encounter others who are sinful and who we want to judge, Lord, that we would be slow to take action. And that we would be reminded, Lord, of the mercy we've been shown, and that we could show that same kind of mercy. That we would be humbled and floored by the great mercy your Son has shown us. That we wouldn't be so prideful to think that we deserve what we have, but know that it's all given to us by your grace. And so, Lord, that we would give freely back to you and to those who are oppressed, to those who need it. We just thank you for your Son, Jesus, that he emptied himself. And God, we give him all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.